La 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 la. You ever done this? I'm not listening. La 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 la. When you're a kid, you do that, right? It was really kind of weird. Put your fingers in your ears if you want to, and say la la la. You really can hardly hear. Go ahead, say something to me. I can't hear you. Nope, it's all muffled. Can't. La la. Stephen was one of the leaders of the early church. The church that, remember last week, they spent time together, they ate meals together, they looked out for one another, and they sought goodwill for all the people for a little while. He was originally, well, as this, you know, someone who is a leader of the early church, originally his role was someone who could wait on tables. The 12 disciples, the apostles, were like, you know what? We're doing too much. We don't have enough time, really, to distribute the food to the needy. And so they said, and it's kind of like a quote from the New Testament from the New Revised Standard Version, and it's translated differently in other ones, but it's like, why? We don't really shouldn't be spending our time waiting on tables while we've got other stuff to do. And so they appointed some other men to wait on tables, and Stephen was one of them. And the 12 disciples then could devote themselves to prayer and to teaching. But Stephen is sort of singled out in this, it's in the 7th chapter of Acts, even in the 6th chapter of Acts, before all this, he's sort of singled out as one who was full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and also one who did great wonders and signs among the people. So he was among those who were called to wait on tables. He was it. He was the one. And Stephen also, because of this, you know, he looked good among those who waited on tables. So he made the other religious leaders, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ones who didn't like this new movement, the way, the followers of the way, he made them nervous because he was charismatic and he had sort of this following. His wonders and signs were crowd-pleasing. The Jesus followers at this time were becoming more than a nuisance. I mean, they'd gotten rid of Jesus, but this group, this fledgling group, kept going, and Stephen was too much for them. So they didn't want any more people messing with their rules. They thought that they'd taken care of things. But so with Stephen, they planted false stories about him attacking, religious themes. They said, we heard him blaspheme Moses and even God. They just made it up. They went out and said, this Stephen, we heard him blaspheme Moses and even God, and started a rumor going, so people got upset, and they spread untrue rumors about him. They put him on trial on false charges. Actually, there was a witness at the trial. It says that the witness said, this man is always speaking against the temple and against the law of Moses. Just made it up. Maybe you have seen things like that happen in modern day churches and politics and everything where people just make stuff up. But really, it's just made up stories about Stephen. And then in this trial, Stephen had a chance to talk. He gave this long, it was his defense, but it was a sermon. He gave this long sermon to his accusers. He recounted the Exodus about how God's people had been delivered. He talked about Solomon, the wise one. He pointed out how God's people keep messing up and doing the wrong thing, and that they were doing it again. Said, you're messing up again. You're ruining things again. You're not seeing what's right in front of your eyes. He called them stubborn and that they were deliberately ignoring God's law. So he didn't just say you're making a mistake. He said, you're being truly bad on purpose. And his accusers were really mad. The Bible says, it really does say this. It says that they shook their fists at him while he was talking. They went like this. Why you, that's the kind of visual that you get. He's like, you're being stubborn. Why you? It's sort of like a scene from Andy Griffith or the Brady Bunch or something like that. But the religious leaders, even though it's kind of comical to see him going, why you? They were infuriated. This is a way that they showed their fury. You know how President Bush, when he was president, had a shoe thrown at him? You remember that? That's the kind of fury. It was funny when we saw it. Maybe not funny, but you looked at it, you kind of like, oh, nice head fake there and everything. So there's a comical element to it, but there was fury in that shoe throwing. There's fury among politicians. There's fury among people who say awful things sometimes. And this fist shake was fury coming from the crowd. And while they were furious, Stephen had a vision. It says in our reading today, he saw the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So we'd been through this whole sermon and called them stubborn. And then he said, the heavens are open and I can see God standing right here. And the fist shaking stopped. Those who wanted Stephen gone didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. They were not willing to listen to anything except what their narrow thoughts were. They weren't willing to listen to any voice that disagreed with them. They weren't willing to open their eyes to any possibility other than the one that fit their agenda. And they were angry. And so they killed Stephen. They dragged him into the city and they murdered him. That's it. Stephen is lifted up as a Christian martyr. Lifted up as one who's one who remained a true follower of Jesus until his untimely death. You know, this story, it didn't have to be this way, because like I said, just as we read this Bible verse, like, why today? This isn't a good story. The reading today isn't a good story. It's a story about murder. It's the story of lies and jealousy and hatred and violence and murder. It's the story of closed minds and lies and jealousy and hatred and murder. And it's a story that is repeated far too often. Closed minds. Lies. Jealousy. Hatred, violence, and murder. Every one of those things are toxic, and we can live better without them. If you want to take anything away from this story, take away at least that. Hate, violence, jealousy, lies, closed minds, murder. They are all toxic, and we can live better without them. But there is some hope in the story. Two things. One is that Stephen, though he was angry and called the people stubborn and tried to get them to change their ways during his sermon, he didn't respond with lies or hatred or violence as he was murdered. He asked God to forgive his murderers. I don't think that I could do the same. I know I could not do the same. I wish someone had stepped in and stopped the violence. I really like the story of Jesus and the woman accused so much better than this, because Jesus stepped in and stopped the violence. And in this case, nobody stepped in. But Stephen didn't return hate for hate. There is some hope there that it is not necessary to return hate for hate. Or snark for snark, or violence for violence, or jealousy for jealousy, or lies for lies, or closed minds for closed minds, or murder for murder. And there's a little other little tidbit of hope here. The whole scene, the whole murder scene, was witnessed by a young man named Saul. Did you catch that part in the reading? He saw the violence. He saw the forgiveness. Saul still became someone who did their best to rid the world of Christians. But somewhere down the road, and it was actually on a road, he changed. He stopped being a person of hatred and violence and murder. He became the man that we know as Paul. And Saul and Paul, same name. It's not that Saul was his bad name and Paul is his good name. Saul is his Hebrew name and Paul is his Greek name. He just starts to go by Paul as he is ministering to the Greeks. Same guy. I'm not sure of it, but I wonder why this little bit is in here with Saul's name, seeing the stoning, the murder of Stephen. And I think it's mentioned because this horrible story, this horrible murder, stuck with Paul, and it helped to change him. So that on the road, when he encountered the risen Christ in a vision and he was blinded, there was something underneath that, that he had seen one of Christ's followers respond to murder with forgiveness. So there's a little bit of hope in this terrible, horrible, no good, very bad story. And I guess that we continue to share Christ's story. Not Stephen's story so much. We don't need to share stories about murder. We don't need to like stories about murder. But I tell you what, we do continue to share Christ's story, the good news of Jesus, because of someone like Stephen's enduring witness. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for making it possible out of the most horrible, awful, terrible, no good things for there to be some little bit of hope. Help us to live with your hope, with your love for all of your children. Amen.